and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. Thank you so much for being here, and congratulations for saying yes to the possibility of having the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant-Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. After a long and winding journey to love, I found my own Mr. Right and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43, and I'm now blessed and honored to support many single women throughout the world to help them meet and attract their Mr. Right and find the love they've always dreamed of. This virtual gathering is designed to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to support you on your journey to love as we begin 2015. And I'm so thrilled to tell you I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you their best wisdom, advice, and guidance. I'm very excited to interview our guest today and invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. I know you'll enjoy the interview, and you may even want to take a few notes. So it's my privilege today to introduce our wonderful guest, Allison Armstrong. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you, Michelle.
So happy to have you here.
I'm really glad to be here. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Yes, Happy New Year. Before we get started, I just want to share with you just a little bit about Allison. Allison Armstrong, author, educator, and creator of the widely acclaimed Queen's Code Workshop Series, asks the question, what if no one is misbehaving, including you? She explores the good reasons behind the behavior of men and women, such as fundamental differences in the ways we think, act, and communicate. She offers simple partnership-based solutions to improve our communication and intimacy by honoring ourselves and others. She's known for her insight, sense of humor, and ability to articulate the human experience and the predicament of gender. Really excited about Allison's topic today, and I think this is one that is going to be so incredibly valuable to all of you. She's going to be talking about being the right girl for the right guy. And I think this is just an interesting twist because so often we think a lot about who we might like to have in our life. We don't always think about who we might be to attract that person in our life. So, Allison, I am really interested to hear from you as we get started why you selected this particular topic of being the right girl for the right guy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should have said the right gal for the right guy. certainly the right woman. Well, there's a couple reasons for it. One is when I saw the title of the summit, you know, the right guy, right? I've been studying men since 1991, and I've asked, I don't even know how many men, single men, you know, would you like to be married? And most men, I mean, there are a few that are like, no, never again. But most men say yes. I mean, the overwhelming majority of men, like I'd say 90% of men, say yes. And then they always follow it up with some version of, if I meet the right person, when I meet the right person, hopefully I'll meet the right person. And it's one of the biggest differences that I've seen between men and women. There are men who, in their 30s especially, want to find their wife to build their kingdom with. But besides that, men don't have a really tight timeline for getting married. They want to get married to the right person. And women, because of our ovaries, our eggs and the clock ticking, whether we know it or not, we tend to want to get married at the right time. And that has us not hold out for the right guy. And so I commend you. I commend you for waiting till you're 43 and holding out for the right guy. That's like the smartest thing you could have done. And so when they kept saying the right person, the right person, the right person, I was like, okay, I got to find out about that. And so I started asking, well, what makes someone the right person? And over time, we found that there were basically 12 things that make a woman the right person. And the thing that women don't know is that, well, there's tons of things that women don't know, but one of the things women don't know about this area of commitment and marriage is that men know within, on the outside, within the first 3 minutes, usually within the first 30 seconds of meeting a woman, they know what could happen with her. So within the first 3 minutes, they know this, whether or not this could be a lifetime relationship, or is this a friendship, or is this something that's going to be fun for a while. They know that. They have, it's in their gut, and you know, which has as many neurotransmitters as the brain, and they know it. Now, what happens after that is it's really important. So right from the very beginning, if you think of it like a puzzle, right from the very beginning, they see the frame. They see the frame of the puzzle. They see what this could be. And then they go about getting to know her. And what they're looking for is, do the pieces inside that frame fit? And he'll be really excited about the possibility, right? Or he'll be, oh my gosh, she could be the one. I have no business going near her right now. I'm too much of a mess. So they go off and make themselves into the right guy before they pursue the right girl, right? But they're looking to see, will it fit? And they're hoping it will fit. They are much better at not squinting to try to make it fit. Like, you know, it looks good if you squint. And what will happen is, if these pieces, some of which I can talk about today, if these pieces don't come together, what he'll say, they'll go, say, so what happened to you and that woman you were so excited about? And he'll say, it just didn't add up. Mm-hmm. And that's how they refer to that, the center of the puzzle. It just didn't add up. So they saw this possibility, and then the pieces didn't fit. And the problem is that women don't know what the pieces are. We have a very skewed idea of what the pieces are, and we're wrong. We're wrong about what they're looking for. And so we're not giving them the information they need to know that we are the right person. We're actually, in many cases, concealing the information that they need in order to know that we're the right person. So our way of going about it's very instinctive. We call it cave woman. Our way of going about attracting a mate actually has these men convinced we're not the right person when we could have been. So we're providing all the wrong input for their process. And this is one of the things I've been trying to teach women now for almost 20 years, that actually their process is a very valid one. They tend to have a longer view about being happily married. They don't just want to be married. They want to be happily married. So what they are looking for is actually good for them and good for us. They tend to be much smarter about their approach to marriage than we do. So there's nothing bad about what they're looking for. There's actually what women get out of our course, you know, the Queen's Code for Relationships, is they end up with hope. Like, oh my gosh, I could do this. You know, when they're convinced that they've failed and will always fail. So that's really my excitement. And to get to tell that to everyone who's listening, you know, as you embark on this process, so that you are honoring yourself and honoring the process men are going through, and trust that it actually it will serve you both.
You know, I think it's very interesting what you said there, Allison, because I think there is a perception among many women that a lot of men don't want to get married. And yet you're telling us, with the exception of a few out there, the majority of the men are saying they would like to get married if they could meet the right person. And so I know you've got us all here on the edge of our seats, because we love to hear what men actually have to say. And you've talked about this puzzle with the frame. And, of course, we're all dying to know what these pieces are, particularly if we've been putting the wrong pieces out there.
Yeah, we do. And so should I just dive in?
Yeah, we'd love to hear some of what you have learned from your research with these men that you've had the opportunity to speak with and interview over the years, because I know that as women, we're always wondering what's going on inside the minds of men, right? They're a mystery in so many ways.
Yes. Well, they think they're very simple, which is hilarious, because I'm still studying them and they're still blowing my mind. So it's pretty funny that they think they're simple. Okay, so what I'd like to do is spend the majority of our time on things that people can't get elsewhere. So, for example, I've written a book called Making Sense of Men, which talks about the two different types of attraction that men experience. We call it sexually attracted and charmed and enchanted. And men marry women, men start romantic relationships with women for whom they have both kinds of attraction. So I could spend the whole hour just on that topic, but that's why I wrote a book. And it's a really quick read, and it costs like $10 at Amazon or something. So, and it's even on Kindle, so they can just read that, and it will talk about being authentic. It'll talk about your self-confidence. It'll talk about your passion, and it'll talk about your receptivity. And those are all critical elements, but we just lump that into, you know, he's sexually attracted and charmed and enchanted. And I'll just leave that one there, but it's where it begins. Okay?
Okay, perfect.
And then, okay? And then some other really important things. So men can only marry a woman that they think they can make happy.
Mm.
And men leave women that they're convinced they can't make happy. And so one of the most important things for a woman to be the right gal is she's got to be able to be made happy. And that's something that women don't really understand how it works. And we have a whole 3-day course dedicated to just that called the Queen's Code for Life. But basically what it comes down to is there's two things that will keep you from being happy. One is not having enough of what you need. So mostly to start with is sleep more. Most women are not getting enough sleep for them to be able to be made happy. They're not moving their bodies enough. I don't like the word exercise because that sounds like a chore. Move your body. I don't care if you're dancing around in your living room. You know, move your body. And we need, you know, enough water, and we need good food, and we need time with quality people. So if we're burning ourselves out in our jobs and not sleeping enough and worrying all the time, nothing will make us happy. And that will have every man feel like he's not good enough for us, which if he can't make you happy, you're not the right person for him. Now, the other thing to do about that is heal. Whatever injuries you have from the past, whatever baggage you're carrying around from other men, or maybe, you know, like from your mother, it can be from women too, whatever's between you and being happy, get it healed. And, I mean, there's so many healing modalities out there that are wonderful. You know, the Sedona method is fabulous. We have a method on our website, the teleclass is called Healing Your Heart, Restoring Your Honor. It works like a miracle. So truly, I haven't found any harm that's ever come to a person that couldn't be healed if you're willing for it to be healed. And that's one of the things that the right gal's got to do. And women know this. We've gone into relationships with men who were so messed up by their previous relationship that there was nothing we could do. Like it was like pouring ourselves into a black hole. And eventually you have to leave because it's sucking the life out of you. And the same is true for men. They need to, they're very conscious of how they spend their energy. And when they can make a woman happy, that's the best return on investment a man can get. And that has him think, okay, this will work. This will work. This is a good place to invest myself because I'm going to keep getting back more. I'm going to be empowered by being this with this woman. I'd be silly to not marry this woman because I'm going to be so much better off.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say or ask anything about that part before I go on?
Yeah, just that I think this is such an important area for women to recognize because I think one of the temptations, and I know that you talk about this in a lot of your work as well, Allison, is that women might have a tendency to feel like they need to give too much, too fast, too soon in the relationship instead of recognizing what a gift that they're giving to a man by allowing him to give to her, to please her, to offer up whatever his gifts are, and for her to graciously receive them. And being in that, and having that ability to receive and acknowledge and appreciate the gifts of a man, I do know is one of the greatest gifts that a woman can give to a man. And sometimes we give the wrong things too fast, too soon, whether it be sex or whether it be a premature commitment or whatever the case may be. And then women never give a man to really have that sense of his own ability to please her. And sometimes women end up feeling depleted or used or unappreciated. And I just think it's an incredibly interesting dynamic. It's something I've had to learn a lot about in my now 8 years of marriage. And when I acknowledge and appreciate the gifts, whether it's his time, his attention, his expertise, whatever, that my husband offers me, he beams like he's a little boy. He you know, I can almost physically see him putting his shoulders back and feeling proud. And it brings me a lot of joy to see that in him. But for me, that's not something that came incredibly naturally. It's something I've had to learn.
Yeah, it's something all women need to work on. And to put it really simply, anything you appreciate, you're going to get more of. If there's something you want that you've asked for that he did and then he doesn't keep doing it, it's because you didn't appreciate it enough.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen in a courtship, you know, so he sees the frame of that puzzle and he starts courting her. He's finding there's many things he's finding out, but two of the major things he's finding out is, can I make her happy? And can I give her what she needs? Which he translates into, can I afford her? Have I got what she needs? And so what's going to happen is he's going to be offering what he has. And then he'll see if she values it.
Yeah.
In other words, does she want what he has to give? Now, when a man is crazy sexually attracted, which emphasis on the word crazy, he will try to figure out what she needs and try to figure out how to give it, even when it's not his to give. And that's how he loses himself in a relationship. He loses himself in providing for her and trying to impress her with something other than who he is naturally. So, and eventually he'll wake up and he'll go, oh, God, I got to get out of here. I have disappeared. So it doesn't work. It ultimately doesn't work, and I'm always cautioning men, if you're crazy sexually attractive, run in the opposite direction because it doesn't work for men or for women. So he's going to keep offering, and he's going to see, did you like that? Did that work for you? Did you need that? Did you value that? How much does that mean to you? What I have to give, how much does that mean to you? And the right person for him is someone that values what he already wants to give. A silly, crazy example. I mean, my husband and I, we will be married 22 years in February, and, you know, I was sick, and he came over to rub my back.
Oh.
This is after our first date. I got really sick. He goes, well, I could come rub your back. I'm like, really? Would you?
Oh.
He drove almost an hour in the rain to come rub my back. Now, I am the girl who loves her back rubs. And, you know, like 23 years later, we started dating 23 years ago. 23 years later, what was he doing last night? He rubbed my back, so I fell asleep. And,
oh.
I mean, he's like, I get back rubs almost every day, sometimes twice a day. And I love them. And he can't believe that I let him do it. He's like, he's just like, he so wants to rub my back, and he's so excited that I want him to. He has a reputation. If you park your car in our driveway, he's this stealth car washer. And he won't tell you. He'll wash your car and not tell you. And
Aww.
See if you figured it out. He just wants to give you the gift of a clean car, right? And, you know, the first time he washed my car, I was so excited he washed my car. So there are these little things, you know, like, and what they're looking for is when a man's attracted to you, what he'll do is he'll try to impress you. And it may sound like bragging, but what he's trying to see is, do you want what I got? And if you're not impressed by what he's talking about, like that he has one of those, that he's been there and he's done that, he knows he can't ever make you happy. He knows he can't afford you. So it, so this being able to be made happy, really critical. And then can I go on to the part that I've started on here about affording you?
Yes.
Okay. So this is what a man's doing when he's courting. He's trying to see, he's trying to figure out, can I give her what she needs? That's the problem he's solving. Can I give her what she needs? He's analyzing this. Can I give her what she needs? And the problem is that women don't know how men figure out what women need. And this is one of the biggest ways that we totally blow them out of the water, okay? So the first thing they do is every man, and it varies by his age and his values, but every man has already decided what every woman needs. Even teenage guys already have an opinion about what all women need. They've observed enough teenage girls to go, oh, all women need blank, right? They need you to listen to them talk, right? And as they get older, they'll fill in that picture of what they think all women need. Then they add to that what you already have. I'll never forget the look on the men's faces when I told them women have things they don't need. It just blew their mind. Like, you should check with her. Like, do you need a car like that? Do you need a house that big? Do you need to go to Europe every year? Because they assume whatever you're already doing, whatever you're already having, you need that.
Mm.
Now, this could include, by the way, how you grew up. So one of our workshop leaders, before her boyfriend met her parents, she warned him because they lived in a castle. And I'm not kidding. I had been to their castle. I could stand in the fireplace. It had turrets and everything. It was hilarious. But she warned him. She says, I don't need you to provide for me what my father's provided for my mother. I don't need that. And he told her later that if she hadn't told him that, he would have taken one look at their house, and that would have been the end of their relationship. And instead, they're married with two kids. So the other thing they do, so they look at what you have. So you pull up in your car, and they decide if they can pay for it. Could I afford that payment? They look at your house. Could I afford that mortgage? They look at your clothes. Could I afford to buy all those clothes? Could I afford you? And then they listen to what you talk about. So they listen to everything you say you want to do. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. They're going cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. They're just assuming that they'd have to be able to afford it. Now, I know this is very old-fashioned, and women get upset. Like, I have an income. I pay my mortgage. I don't need a man to do that. It's too new. Us paying for all our stuff is too new in the history of humanity for it to interfere with this process, which is very old.
Yeah.
So I know I'm talking really fast, but what it means, can you tell I'm really wound up about this?
Yeah, and
what
it's,
it means,
and it's so important. I am so glad you're sharing this.
Yeah, so what it means, so all the time women are blowing men out of the water. They drive up in their car, and it's over, right? He comes, he wants to come to her house. She'll put off him coming to her house because he thinks he's just trying to get to her house to have sex with her, right? Well, he might be hopeful about that, but he needs to see your house. And he's looking for, can he afford your house? And could he live in your house? Because men know that they live in our spaces.
Yeah.
So he has to come feel your house. Now, don't decorate your house to please a man. Decorate your house as an expression of you. And then he'll come, if he loves your house, he'll love you. Right? Like, ah, oh, he'll, if he's at home in your house, he'll be at home with you. So have it reflect you. But women have to really watch. They got to watch two things. One is sort out for yourself, what do you really need as a lifestyle? Like truly, you need that, and you're not willing to live without it, and you'd rather be alone and provide it for yourself than be with a man who couldn't provide it. Sort that out. Then the second thing is watch what you're saying. Don't just blabber. Only talk about what you really need and your dreams, the things that make you happy, because he's listening to your dreams, going, would I want to give her that? Would I want the life that includes that? He's deciding, is he the right person for you? Because the right person for him is someone he's going to be the right person for, that he can afford her. So you have to, and these, by the way, are things that women tend to conceal. So we're there in a courtship, and he's asking us about our dreams, and we're afraid. We don't want to turn him off. So we don't come out and say, I want to be a stay-at-home mom, or I want to, what really matters to me is having a huge family, or I want to have a family, and I want to live in different countries for 2 or 3 years at a time and expose my children to all these cultures in the world. That's my dream life. And like, we're afraid to say those things. But the right guy for you is the guy that will listen to your heart's desire and think, I want to give her that. And that's what they do. They sign up for your dreams. And that means you don't have to have a life where you're struggling all the time with your mate to try to get your dreams in the budget. You're not having fights over money because you spent it on the things that you think you really need. He already signed up for you spending money on those things because he was listening for it in the beginning. And then the third thing you got to do is anything you have that you don't need, you got to tell them. Look, I'm not looking for a man to pay my mortgage. I've got my mortgage handled. But I can't sing to myself. I can't rub my back. I can't hold me. I can't wake up. I can't be the one that soothes myself from my own nightmares. I can't tell myself everything's going to be fine. I can't listen to myself, and I can't share with myself. Like, whatever it is you really want in your relationship, you have to keep putting that forth, because there are misconceptions he has in his head that have to be corrected, or he's going to judge you by things that weren't true about you. He'll decide that you're the wrong person for him and he's the wrong person for you because you didn't correct a misconception. Like, he just decides, I can't afford that car, right? Instead of, oh yeah, I got this as a friend moved to Europe and sold it to me for cheap. Ordinarily I'd never buy anything this fancy. It's not even quite my style, right? Or this is really important to me. Yeah, I love my car. I'm not sure if it's worth the money or not, but I love it. I'll probably sell it in a year or something. It's a treat. Like, you just have to represent yourself accurately so that they're making their evaluation based on facts instead of what they make up.
Yeah, and I think that like you're saying, if a man is approaching the relationship, you know, looking at, can I afford this? And he sees all of these things. What we as women might sometimes think we're doing to just impress a man, to show how successful or how amazing or how well we're able to take care of ourselves, it does make sense that it could send him running the other way. And so I think this is just an incredibly valuable insight and something that, you know, it's easy to miss. I know for a certainty that myself as a single professional woman and many of the women that I've worked with, I was very proud of that accomplishment, and I have reason to be proud of that. And yet sometimes leading with that and all of the accomplishments and the money that I was making and all of those kinds of things, I know for a fact scared off a certain number of men because I wasn't communicating it in the way that you're framing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I got to say something, because you've said two things now that have that actually have the same theme.
Okay.
So you were talking about how much we give, right? Women who give too much and then they feel taken from. And now you're talking about our accomplishments and our money and being proud of them. Both of those are masculine.
Yeah.
So what has us turn off the right guy is trying to be the right guy.
Yeah.
We're trying, basically what it comes down to is we're trying to prove to men that we don't need them. And we think that makes us more attractive. But men aren't looking for a wife who doesn't need them. They're looking for a wife who does need what they've got. Because they want to give it.
Yeah.
I've never had a man say to me, you know, I married my wife because she didn't need me. She was completely self-sufficient, and she was very little trouble. They never say that. They say, I was what she needed. I had what she was looking for. I knew I could make her happy. And we'd gotten through so many problems already. I knew we could face anything together. They're looking for a partner.
Yeah, and this has definitely been something that I've had to learn the hard way. As I shared, you know, this has been a process for me on my own journey and in my marriage to learn these differences between men and women and how to express myself in a more feminine way, because I know I was out there shooting myself in the foot, putting forward these, you know, masculine attributes of giving too much and of trying to impress a man with all of my accomplishments and money and career and et cetera. You know, and I have
to
laugh when I think back on it now.
To attract you, right?
Yeah, I have to laugh when I think back on it now because, boy, did I give that a good solid try and it never worked.
Exactly. Yeah, they're trying to impress you with their accomplishments.
Right.
Right? And what they're thrilled by is when you're impressed.
Right.
And by the way, just to clear up another misconception, men are not intimidated by women making more money than them. They think it's awesome. They think our competency, our intelligence, our success, they think it's so awesome. The thing that not only intimidates them but emasculates them is when it comes with the attitude, so what do I need you for?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's intimidating. When we have no way that they can contribute to us because we got it all handled, they're out.
They
take themselves out. So it's fine. Make all that money. Be really successful. Except for I got to say one other thing.
Okay.
We're moving into another area, right? So he's looking, can he make you happy, right? Can he give you what you need? He's also looking for, can he get what he needs from you?
Love to hear more about that.
Okay. So we call it need central.
Need central.
need central. So central being, you know, the place you go for everything, right?
Right.
And it's, I don't know, my mother used to say something about central. This is something central. When I was a kid, it rubbed off. So it's really about men are, testosterone makes the brain single focused. So men really have this huge brain inclination, like tracking for it, and inner and the way that they're really conservative with energy. So they are the one-stop shoppers. They want to get everything they need from one place. And
yeah.
they are truly, they are naturally devoted human beings. They want one source. And they... And if they can find a woman who is the one source of everything, that's what they want. They don't want to have to go to a strip mall and go into 12 different stores, right, to get everything they need. Now,
well, isn't that the truth?
Isn't that the truth? So these are the things basically that they need, okay? They need food, which doesn't mean you have to cook, but you have to be paying attention to how's gonna food going to work here. They need sex at whatever rate and frequency they need sex. It could be, I know a man who has sex 3 times a day. I know a man who has sex once every 3 days. I know a man who has sex once every 30 days. It could be, but they need it when they need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're so cute. They need help finding things. Estrogen makes our vision different. We have a different vision than men have. They have what we call track vision, which is good for hunting. We have scan vision, which is good for seeing what's valuable in a meadow. We don't really have to go looking for things because we already know where they are.
Yeah.
Because we noticed that they were out of place when we walked by there, right? So they often need help finding things. But really what it comes down to, and I did a whole section with men at one of our programs on this, from a man's point of view, the smallest unit, right? So just like an atom, right, was considered the smallest unit of anything on Earth was the atom, right?
Yeah.
The smallest unit of a relationship is attention. So how much attention?
Say that again. The smallest unit of a relationship is attention.
Attention is a moment of your attention. So if you, are you paying enough attention? How many moments of attention does he get from you? And what is the quality of that attention? So are you paying attention to what he's doing wrong and taking him apart for it and criticizing him and emasculating him for it? Or are you paying attention to what he's doing right and appreciating him, right, and thanking him and taking it personally because he did it for you, right? So what are you paying attention to what he needs, or are you only paying attention to what you can get from him? So it all comes down to how much attention are you paying and what kind of attention are you paying? And, like, are you really listening to him when he's telling you about something that's important? Or are you being multitasking, which is normal for our brains, right?
Mm-hmm.
And are you really with him when you're having sex? Hard for our brains to stay in one place.
it is.
You know, we've got the amygdala going in the center of our heads, right? Worrying like crazy. You know, am I too fat? Did you like my boobs? What about my butt? Did I move right? Should I be making sounds or not, right? He just wants us to be there, right? Just actually be present, feel what's happening, right? Receive the pleasure he's trying to give. So it all comes down to attention for them. And one of the ways that women become not the right person, right? Like he meets her, he's instantly charmed and enchanted by her, he's physically attracted to her, he's like, oh my gosh, wow. He gets kind of goofy, he might stutter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it gets, you know, it's so hard for them to ask us out. The bigger that picture is, right? Then there's more at stake. They really right? And
yeah,
so they finally ask us out, you know, so could we have dinner sometime? Oh, yeah, I'd love to have dinner with you. Okay, well, how about this weekend? No, I can't do it this weekend. Well, how about next week? No, I'm working late every night. How about the next weekend? No. he knows right then he's never going to get enough attention.
Yeah.
She doesn't have enough room for him in her life. She doesn't have space to pay him attention. So the success is wonderful. The status is wonderful. The accomplishment is wonderful. But you will never be the right person if you don't have room for the right guy. You actually mm-hmm. have to have space. And if you're going to embark on dating, which we have a whole CD set from a live workshop to transform dating. It's called In Sync with the Opposite Sex, so I won't cover all that. But if you decide to embark on dating, after you listen to In Sync, because it'll set you up for it to be life-giving instead of life-sucking, one of the first things you have to do is make space in your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fill it all up with activities. Make room. Just have room. You could just put a space in your calendar that you're just holding the space. Right, guy?
Right, guy.
Right, guy. You just hold the space. Friday night, right, guy. Right, guy. Right, guy. Saturday night's better for right, guy, because they usually don't come up for air till Saturday morning. Right? They can't think of Friday night. They're too tired. So right, guy, right, guy, right, guy. So all your girlfriends ask you to do things on Saturday night. You say, well, I'll have to let you know that day. So that if you meet the right guy on Thursday and he says, could you go out this weekend? You say, as a matter of fact, I can. Really? Right? She has space for me. Oh, my gosh. I could get enough attention.
Yeah, and you know,
that's a backup plan. You don't have to sit home every Saturday night unless you enjoy it, but you got to save some room for this man to show up.
Yeah, I think that's so incredibly valuable, because I know it's so tempting. Our lives are all so busy, and it's so tempting to fill up every moment and every space with something that might seem important or worthwhile or fun, and certainly there's a balance to be found there. I know there were years during my 43 years as a single woman where my life was so full, based on the career and traveling and things that I was doing, that there really wasn't that space for a relationship. And one of the things that I found that I thought was incredibly insightful that you just shared, Allison, was that in my marriage, I do focus on creating time and space to give my husband some attention every day, some of my undivided attention, because I always have a million things going, and all of my brain's always going in all different directions, which I know is typical for most women. And so it does require, even not just to get into a relationship, but to maintain a good and healthy relationship, to create that space to provide that attention.
Yeah, and what it boiled down to when we did this whole focus group on it, if you will, a couple hundred people, was attention is the relationship. And if you're not paying attention, you don't have a relationship.
Mm.
It's a shell.
Yeah, that's a really succinct way to say it.
Yeah, you just don't have one. You might live together, you don't have a relationship if you're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that's one of the ways that love dies in the context of like a relationship or marriage?
Yeah, it all dies.
Yeah.
The truth is there's no such thing as a relationship. We have this idea that, you know, two people get to know each other, and between them, this third thing grows called a relationship. And it has these qualities, and it has this persistence on its own. It has a history. It doesn't actually exist. It blew my mind. I love the dictionary. The dictionary is written by men. You want to understand what a man means? Go look it up in the dictionary.
That's a good tip.
Just go look it up in the dictionary. That's their book, right? I looked up relationship. I looked up a relationship expecting them to, you know, describe this thing, right? It said a moment of relating.
Mm.
Oh, my God. That's true. We don't have any relationships. They don't actually have any persistence at all. All we have are moments of relating. And so that's scary. Relationships don't exist. But it's also exciting. It means they're never bogged down. It means in this moment, I could be completely different than I was in the last moment, and we would have a different connection in this moment. We'd have a different moment of relating. We'd have a different relationship. And this is why, and this is the last thing I just really want to say to women, if you want to be the right gal, you got to give up emasculating men. And it's ingrained in us. It comes out of fear and frustration. We don't know how to get what we need from men. We watched our mothers and our mothers and our mothers, and we emasculate men to try to get what we need, and it doesn't work. And a man cannot marry a woman who emasculates him too much. And he'll leave a woman who emasculates him too much. And this is at the heart of what's happening in between men and women right now. And whether you do it on your own or the Queen's Code workshop, women get to free themselves of emasculating men, the Queen's Code book, you'll have a chance to free yourself from emasculating men and have way better ways to get what you need from men, both the book and the workshop. But it's the thing that we've got to let go. We've got to put down the sword.
Put down the sword.
Put down the sword. It comes out of fear and frustration, but they can't take it. And when we don't pay attention to them, they are emasculated. And when we pay attention to them by being critical, they're emasculated. And I brought it up because, like, you know, by the fourth chapter of the Queen's Code book or by the afternoon of the Queen's Code workshop, women have done a 180 on emasculating men. And they go home and they come back the next morning saying, "What did you do to my husband?" Because her husband completely changed. And all that happened was that she was a different person in that next moment of relating. And he responded to her.
Mm.
And they respond to us. They're so vulnerable to who we are. Men are so much more vulnerable than we think. And this is where my research started in 1991. What if men are responding to women? And I found out all these ways that they are and all these ways that they're not, and the kind of attention we're paying them is a way that they are totally responding to us.
Thank you, Allison. That was really beautifully said. And I am so inspired by the work that you're doing in the world and want to thank you personally for the work that you're doing and doing your part to help heal the planet, because I know that the work that you're doing is incredibly transformational for so many people. And so just from all of us here, thank you for sharing so generously with your wisdom and for the work that you do in the world.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. I have to do it. It's what I have to give. So thank you for receiving it.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful what you're doing, and we really appreciate your generosity with your wisdom and sharing today, because I know it will be incredibly beneficial to the women on the call. And I also wanted to share with each of you how you can get more information on Allison's wonderful work. She's mentioned some of her work, her workshops, her Queen's Code workshop and book, and some of the other wonderful resources that she has to offer. And there is a link that you can go to that will take you directly to her website, which is just readyfortherightguy.com/Allison, and that's A-L-I-S-O-N. Allison, did you want to add anything there?
At our website you'll find all kinds of good things, and then also on iTunes we have about 30 hours worth of recordings on iTunes that people can download for really inexpensively. So like In Sync with the Opposite Sex, what I was referring to about transforming dating, you can get that there. All our teleclasses, like Healing Your Heart, you'll find those on our website. and just really happy to get to share with folks. When I found out the 12 things that made a woman the right person, my heart just ached, because most of the things on that list, we've been taught to not be. We've been taught to be the opposite of that. And both our instincts and our culture have had us be not the right person. And we think there's something wrong with us personally. And there isn't anything wrong with us personally. What's all cattywampus is our approach. We've been taught the wrong approach. And the beautiful thing about what men are looking for is that it's so much better than what we think they're looking for. We think they're looking for someone who's perfect and for someone who doesn't have any problems or doesn't need very much. And they're not looking for perfection. They don't expect it. Authenticity is the second most attractive quality in a woman, and confidence is the first. So if you like yourself, if you have confidence, literally means with faith. If you have faith in yourself, work on liking yourself, work on loving yourself. Go ahead and be proud of yourself. It's tremendously attractive. And then being authentic about what you need and what makes you happy and what your dreams are, even authentic about your fears, also really attractive. So it's what we've been taught about, like that we should be perfect and we should have this perfect shape and we should, you know, be the best they ever had in bed and we should never have any problems and not need anything. It's all baloney. That's not what they're looking for. They're so much bigger than that, so much more generous than that. And their approach to a lifetime partner, they're really looking, could I make her happy for the rest of her life? Could I give her what she needs for the rest of her life? They're naturally committal. Men are naturally committal. They're not non-committal. They're naturally committal. They take it so seriously, which is why they take it more slowly. It's why the picture's got to add up, because they can't lose that marriage. It's the biggest failure of their life to lose that marriage. And they're avoiding it like crazy by trying to go in eyes wide open and pick the right person.
Yeah. Yeah, that was beautifully said. And I think that's a really lovely note for us to wrap up on for today. And again, Allison, I just want to thank you once again for sharing so generously of your wisdom. And I also want to thank each of you for being here with us today. And we invite you to consider implementing the ideas that resonate with you during the summit, and hope that you'll be able to listen to as many interviews as possible. And knowing that life is crazy busy and that you may not be able to catch all of the interviews live or on the replay, I also want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package, which is available for $97 during the summit, and that's $100 off the post-summit pricing. And you will have access to all of these interviews, and it's like having a team of experts in your pocketbook to go with you. And you can find all about the package and all of the yummy bonuses at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. So thank you so much for being here with us today. And I once again want to thank our special guest, Allison Armstrong. And I look forward to having you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. So for now, Allison and I are sending you much love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.